5.
Yeah, yeah, right. Pat's going to give him.
Okay, good morning. It is just after 9 a.m. on October 31st, 2011. We have a work session here at the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It is in case number P. Let's see. We've got two case numbers on this
one,
right? Three. Where's my third one? Oh, there we go. Case numbers PU-10-657, PU-11-55, and PU-11-557, which taken together are essentially the Excel rate increase application. And work sessions are for the benefit of the commission to discuss pending dockets with the staff. In this particular case, we have an amended settlement agreement that's before the commission for consideration. We have had a formal hearing on the matter. Why don't we, for anyone who's listening in or for the benefit of the record, being that this is recorded, identify ourselves. This is Tony Clark, and I'll ask my fellow commissioners to identify themselves as well. We'll have the rest of staff do the same, and then we'll have folks in the room introduce themselves as well as anyone on the phone at that point. Kevin or Brian?
Kevin Kramer, good morning.
Good morning, Brian Kalk.
Jerry Leon.
Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Patrick Fung, commission staff.
That's all the advisors, right?
Yeah, that's all the people at the table in the audience.
Good morning, commissioners. Matthew Loftus on behalf of Xcel Energy.
Dave Cedarquist, Xcel Energy.
Mark Grumman, advocacy staff.
Chris Morrell.
Mike Diller, staff.
And joining us by phone,
Laura McCartan, Xcel Energy.
Deb Paulson, Xcel Energy.
All right, very well. First of all, any opening comments from Kevin or Brian?
No, I would yield to the portfolio holder to kick us off here.
Well, I guess that, yeah, thank you, Kevin. I guess my thought was maybe there's some things in the settlement agreement that I agree with, and there's a couple that I really have some questions on. So I don't know what we think the best way to go through it is. And I'd also like to hear some thoughts about from Pat and Alana and Jerry, because we really didn't get a chance to talk about
that
at all.
That's true.
Because I'd like to hear some of their thoughts about the hearing.
Sure. Okay. Well, with that, I'd suggest perhaps, we were all fairly familiar with the settlement itself, meaning that it's been filed for a while when we had the formal hearing on the settlement. Maybe what makes sense is for staff to go over the differences between the settlement as filed and the amended settlement that we have before us today.
If you, let's see, look at the amended settlement, it indicates that the amendment adds expanded reliability reporting requirements, which you can find on page 14, which replace the previously proposed service reliability credit. Recall the credit that they had proposed for customers sustaining outages more than, I think it was 6 a year.
Right.
You know, like that. And they had a $50 credit.
Well, I don't know if we want to go case by case, because that one, I mean, during the hearing, I didn't like the idea of the $20,000 out there, because I just saw that just didn't make sense to me, taking somebody's money and giving it back to somebody else. So I was glad that they submitted that. But I guess my concern, though, about the added reporting requirements is that, have you vetted those through, and is there other things that we should ask in there? But then it goes back to the whole debate about what's in front of us as a settlement agreement.
Well, I think that's right, Brian. I mean, that's exactly right. And at the same time, there was a negotiation taking place from the witness stand, which is, I guess, what this reflects. And I like you, that hasn't been vetted by our advisors, or maybe it has to this point. And I think that you're right. That's one of those sort of mysteries that we probably should work through, because we also had, while not an intervener, obviously a pretty articulate and interested party that had his own idea. And I know we sort of, I didn't want to completely dismiss that either, because frankly, one of the questions I have is would be like for Jerry to sort of help me understand why, you know, what's magical about six, or what why was it so awful that anybody, you know, what Larry was proposing, for example, why that was unworkable, and are there really thousands of, would there really be thousands of reports of multiple outages in a neighborhood, and you know, we were kind of just left to accept all of that on the spot. And even though, you know, advocates quickly grabbed at that as though it was low-hanging fruit, I wanted to make sure that it is.
From what I've seen in here with the reporting requirements that they had seemed reasonable. Some of it they're already doing, the safety and SADE, and there have been right. reporting in major outages to us. I guess I was happy to see the installation of the smart grid switching to help out the response times on these outages.
Yeah, I agree.
That they've been having, and the tree trimming. We knew that was a problem from before.
Yes.
And so.
But Jerry, was your sense the tree trimming was a problem from before because the maintenance wasn't being done or the plan wasn't adequate? Because I was never sold one way or the other on any of that. And the same thing with expanded reporting requirements, that's great, but it doesn't help fix the problem. I'm still not convinced they have enough resources to fix the problems. And by putting more switches or more tree trimming dollars, I don't know, that's still my struggle with the whole company right now.
And they also, was a requirement in there that they start reporting what they're replacing for cable and stuff like that. And if you remember, a lot of their outages have been from cable failures. Mm-hmm. It provides a couple of year period to watch this and a chance to look at it again after that. The tree trimming, that was probably their number one problem with outages was
being driven around Fargo a few times in the last few months. I would say that there's very aggressive tree trimming going on. there's some very interesting shaped trees as you drive up and down University and 10th.
but they were causing a lot of their outages, and as they were telling me when I was out there and visited that time, they were having trouble keeping up with their tree trimming. They were growing faster than expected with the wet seasons and so forth. So I don't know that this will solve everything, but it's a step in the right direction.
I just still feel they're very reactive, not forward-thinking. So the things that we're seeing in this settlement agreement are things that they're reacting to our concerns. And while that's important, it's still – when they give me the answer that, yep, they're positive they've got enough people to do the maintenance needs going forward, I'm not convinced of that. And so I guess you can't really leverage that anymore past what we've already done, other than just don't accept this whole thing. That's going to be my single debate right now.
Okay. I hear you. I like it. Mike, I'm less concerned about the bigger tree trimming piece and the, I appreciate the switches, the smart switches. My bigger concern is this the underground issue satisfactory, you know, the neighborhood outage issue, the six times and we fix it issue, or three times and we fix it, or whatever. There were so many numbers being thrown around and requests being made that I'm not really sure what we finally settled on, and I guess that's part of the amendment. And then I want to know, is that adequate? And I'm totally with Brian on reporting is one thing. We can have reports till we're blue in the face, but that doesn't get you know, the neighbors' lights back on. And so the other thing, frankly, I have a little bit of I've been thinking about, I guess, is how do we know? I mean, Jerry, you're an engineer and you've been there and you look and stuff, but how do we really know? Who can we get that goes and does an analysis of the plant in Fargo and Grand Forks that says, boy, I tell you, this isn't this isn't going to cut it. I can see why they have problems. Or says, wow, this is fluky. This is beautiful, perfect stuff, and there's no reason they should be having all these problems. I think it's just a fluke. Who is that? Because all we have is what the company tells us. It's all we ever have is what the
company tells us. I don't have an easy answer for that either, because the people that really know mm-hmm. are the people on those line trucks that go out and fix this stuff.
Yeah, amen.
And that's when you talk to
them. Yeah, let's hire
some. Off the record, you talk to folks, they'll tell you a whole different story out there, and that's where it gets to be a struggle. We go and talk to these people, and they'll tell you what they think.
And in my mind, you can look at feeders and outages on each feeder and try and do some kind of a statistical look at them and try and see, this feeder seems to be giving you a lot of problems and there's a lot of cable failure on it. What are you doing in this circuit to replace cable? That's about the only type of analysis that I can come up with.
Yeah, we'd almost need, which is actually it would be a luxury that would be nice to have, but yeah. I mean, an operational engineer whose job and expertise is to look at these sorts of things mm-hmm. for any of our companies and to get a sense for the plant itself and how it's engineered and how it's designed and whether it's operating as reliably as it should. And because you're right, I mean, a stack full of reports. I mean,
or paper.
Yeah, it's a lot of paper. But if you had some sort of detailed analysis of what it meant and recommendations for the future, that would be very helpful now.
Well, and
it's not that we want to be in the business of running electric utility. We don't. It's not the job of a commission, but, you know, having some sort of kind of a third-party set of eyes on things just to get a sense for how things are working would actually be helpful, but...
Well, and the public does view us as the stopgap or the last line of defense or the first line of defense, the only line of defense, and we don't have these opportunities very often to leverage. And so, you know, to tell somebody, gee, I know your lights are out again, but in theory, the engineer tells us everything's fine, doesn't cut it, you know.
And like I said, nobody knows like the guys on the line truck.
Well, except the people whose lights aren't on very often.
Yeah.
Or are off a lot.
I don't know what it would take to find somebody like you're talking about telling you to go in and try and assess the system. RFP of some kind.
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously people who do that sort of work, right? I mean,
like Black and Veatch or somebody would...
Well, the one witness, I can't remember who he was, but he testified very candidly about the process about replacing, repairing, and I thought it was very good. But I didn't get to walk it down to, he looked as much, he knew the system, XL system, very well. But had he done that kind of analysis on the North Dakota part of their system? And that was where I didn't sense that someone was focusing in on just our piece of the pie, if you will, so much. And could say convincingly that, yes, we follow the same procedures and protocol that we do in North Dakota that we are in Minnesota, or if there's a difference there. Mm-hmm. And their liability between the two states is probably very similar, but it comes down to their numbers are so much bigger, I think, that the numbers wash out in reports.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely an issue gets, diluted in a larger system.
I mean, maybe changing gears a little bit. There's a lot of stuff I did agree with. I mean, the part about the settlement from the what's the term we're looking for here? The nuclear part of the agreement and then the payback for all that. I didn't have any problem with any of that. So there was a lot of the flood recovery costs. I did have a question on that. There was nothing in here that showed a date certain on that. But other than the time when they picked to end the cost, I didn't have any problem with those.
It'll
costs.
Be in the next rate case, I suppose. Anything after that,
But they testified to that during the hearing, a date. But does that need to be in here underneath the flood agreement part, if you will?
Well, I think the date I asked about was they said that these costs were as of a date certain, and I said, what was that date?
Right.
I was assuming, and I didn't ask, I don't recall, that if there's dates costs beyond that they're somehow excluded. I mean, I was assuming not, but I didn't really ask that question, I don't think. So, yes, I think if there's something beyond that... It would be open. And maybe I did ask. I just don't remember it. I could look it up later.
No, I remember you asked it, but is that something that needs to be in here when it talks about Minot flood restoration, that this is the these costs go through this period, or
it, to have the actual instead of a date certain, have the actual date in there so that everybody knows who reads this, like on the web. Yes, that would be helpful. We could, I mean, we could say that in the order, as opposed to them refiling.
Oh, okay.
Could I ask one question about the previous conversation, Jerry or Pat? Is there anything in the reporting requirements as they're revised that would move the commission closer to what they were just saying that would be what they would want to know about the system? Do the reporting requirements as they're revised in here help the commission and staff know those things or not? Because if they don't, then they're probably useless. And if they do, then maybe they're worth doing for 2 years, is my opinion anyway.
I guess that would.
Let me add something to that. Or think about it in terms of this. Let's say we get to the next rate case 3 years down the line. And I'm not worried about going 25 years between rate cases. Right,
nope, I don't think so. I think those days
we're going to be in a cycle with all our utility companies where we have opportunities to keep revisiting these. Is the information that's provided here going to be something that could be helpful in the next rate case when we have questions about this, and maybe advocacy staff says, you know what, as part of our investigation into company operations, we plan to hire with some of our money one of these third-party experts who looks at this sort of thing. Is this the kind of data that's going to be helpful to that sort of third-party expert in the next rate case?
And just to add on to your question.
No, you're supposed to answer. You don't get it.
Well, I think that I'm looking to Jerry for the answer, but Jerry, you indicated that some of this is already being reported. Well, so I'd like to point out the things that aren't being reported.
Yeah, right now we're getting the SAFE and Katy information by substation on their major subs, the big subs that take out whole areas of the town, come in on transmission lines. So that we're getting. We're getting reports by emails of outages if they are significant or deemed significant. So those we're getting. What we're not getting is the second bullet point here. If we're looking at page 14C, part C, the outages due to underground cable replacements. I'm assuming from that we're getting, so we can look and see, has this cable filled before? And.
But that's a question, though, Jerry, though. Okay.
And when did it last fail?
Well, they're giving us these reports. Okay, this fails. But they should be doing something based on that. That you give us a report that says it fails, and then we say, okay, noted, it's failed, but we can't go back and say replace this cable.
Well, the thing of it is, if you start getting the same area, the same cables failing, it's an indication that you need to go into that area and replace the
cable.
But,
Jerry, I think here's the frustration we all feel. When we hear from the same consumer, the same neighborhood, time after time after time after time, it's damned little comfort to know that everybody knows about their problem. Until they see a truck out there digging it up and fixing it, we're just having a nice theoretical discussion that doesn't keep electricity on. And am I articulating?
No, that's the exact point, that there's been a lot of reliability problems, and it's like, fix them.
And I guess that's my whole point, is we want to try and see who these people are that are getting outages continuously over and over again and have a
So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to tell these people? Yeah, we've seen that. We've seen your report. But we're powerless to make them go fix it.
We're not powerless.
Amen. Then let's start using some of our authority. And that's what I'm looking for, is teeth. Not more paper, not more reporting.
Well, let me
not more
about
promises
what the
most by
effective
the company.
Way to deal with that issue, though, is, which is, I mean, a rate case is a fairly blunt instrument, right? I mean, you're dealing with broader, with sort of big ticket items. But what it gives you is the opportunity to have some leverage in a particular situation. Now, to the degree that there's a specific problem, we have the complaint procedure, and maybe that's what needs to be more aggressively used in these case-by-case situations where we've got neighborhoods where there's a certain problem and we're hearing about it time and again. Then, in separate from a rate case, we've got complaint authority, right, to say, look, fix it now, right?
Yeah.
But that's where the problem where the problem comes in, though, is we go through and we find out that there's some,
yes.
that's it right there, that we go through and we find it out, and they go out and they come back and they look at it and they say, yep, it's a problem, the trees are there. Okay, well, then go change all those, go replace these lines. And then they come back with all these statistics that say, well, this is within our band of this, and we'll worry about that. It's fine. It's just an anomaly. And these anomalies just keep going.
You know, here's what I would say. What if Xcel was going to sell their Fargo plant? Whoever was going to buy it would make doggone sure that it was worth what they were asking for it, right? Who are those people?
Gas Electric.
Okay. Let's hire them. I mean... I want, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think Kevin's point is a good one, that there are people who do this because right. There's due diligence that's done in any transaction. So they.
But we don't do due diligence. We just sort of take a settlement agreement between the conspirators and say, oh, gee, everything's fine, you know. And it's when we know better. That's my frustration.
And we can look into whatever it takes to figure out who does that kind of thing. Probably issuing an RFP type of thing would be the way to go with that.
But wouldn't you think the company knows the system and they know where they could be putting in more money if they chose to? The question is, are they sharing all that information? That's what I get a sense of. If you directed Xcel to spend $40,000 in maintenance and put it in the highest priority area in North Dakota, they could tell you where that's at.
Kind of a little bit of what's going on here.
You think by the reporting that may...
I think the company has identified that these smart switches will help their system.
And that's what I don't want to get lost in here. It's actually in the settlement. There's a lot of really good reliability things. In fact, more reliability investments than I've seen in any rate case application that I've seen in the 11 years I've been here. So you've got the intelligent, the smart grid switches that are going in. You've got aggressive tree trimming policies, which, I mean, those two together may have quite an impact, and I'd like to see how that plays out. To me, the only question is, do we hold up the settlement in hopes of getting something more on this issue of the smaller, smaller isn't exactly the right word, but more localized reliability problems that we see, and do the grid applications help with that? Or is it better to accept the settlement with all the good things that are in, and there's a lot that's good, and then try to come back at a little bit later time and get a more in-depth look at the...
I think that's a nice, reasonable approach. But I really do want us to have some specific teeth in sort of contingencies on top of the settlement, so to speak. I want a very clear signal sent. Because remember, this is a company. This is the second rate increase since this company's president promised 200 megawatts of generation in our state.
Well, I had a note on that.
That hasn't happened.
I had a note for that same question, that previous commitments that have not yet been implemented, how do you not deal with those now?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Every few years we come together and we have this, you know, again, this sort of high-level thing, but we never quite get to. There's a trust factor that's, frankly, a problem for me, and so we need to institutionalize trust because it's not a natural at this point. Hopefully, with new players, it can be regained, but right now there's a concern. I mean, how do I go to the governor and say, you know, that press conference you and I went to in Fargo 4 years ago where they promised 200 megawatts? They're pretty close. You know, it's like, okay, they were 4 years ago, you know.
It's two different things, though.
Yeah.
They promised generation and the reasonableness of rates.
They're directly related to trust.
They are directly related to trust.
And to the belief of a witness on a stand.
Oh, that I agree with completely. But when it gets to deciding the case, then it's kind of two different things. Unless you think it affects your, you know, seriously, the you know, some witness that you heard in this case.
Once again, let me be clear.
I think you are.
Case I'm not. Theoretical regulatory legalese at a high level with reams and reams of paper and charts are one thing. But we only have these opportunities. While Tony's right, it won't be 25 years. We only have them every few years. And very little happens between those cases. And right now, we hold something that we have this leverage, and I just want to use it for the best of our ability to get what I think the ratepayers of this company deserve.
Could I ask another question or throw out a thought? And I'm not trying to deflect from the other good provisions of the settlement, but I do want to get a feel for whether we're going to require this reporting or not. It's conceivable if there's any money left that the commission could hire a consultant now, and it's conceivable if the parties did not think that threw the whole settlement out, to say, we're going to take what's in this settlement and we're going to issue an order that adopts everything, including the reporting, which could be a waste of time, but might not be, and we could figure that out in the 2 years. But we're leaving open the question of whether more things need to be done for reliability, additional to whatever's in here, and take, if there's any money left, and I don't know if there is, but I'm thinking there might be because of the settlement. And if it's enough, have that analysis and then incorporate it. Now, again, that might be a slight revision to the settlement that the parties could, say, walk away from, but maybe not.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was thinking I don't think I'm ready to the settlement agreement. I'm not even there yet right now with some of the details. The question is, should offer up something. When you talk about reliability, there's two bullets down there. I was thinking of a 3 and a 4, that I should come up with some specific language that this is what we'd like to see in addition to this, and then vet that out to see if that answers any of the questions, because that's about what it comes down to, is that if we've got something or I've got something that I want to add to this, it should be specific enough that we could put it forward and then see where
sure.
it goes.
Okay.
And that, to me, it's all around that whole maintenance plan and the repairing of things, vice running the outages and keep extending the service life on it. But there's no basis of that right now in this meeting. That's the part that I'd like to look at. Because we go back to my very first meeting in the commission, we had problems with their meters. And they gave us a plan of why it happened, but it came down to they were short of some people. And, you know, Minot does everything fine up in that part of the region, and they're adding a few more people up in Minot, but they're not adding people down in Fargo and Grand Forks. And one of the witnesses said, oh, no, we're fine. Well, I still don't buy that. So that, to me, I think is a number three. I was thinking of X amount of people doing certain things.
Page you on?
I'm on page 7 under reliability. That's the part that I think that if I could get something in there, I might be inclined to agree with the settlement mm-hmm. agreement. Because everything else I'm pretty comfortable with. I just get a sense that there's not enough people out there doing the things they need to do. And I can't validate that sense with some statistical study. That becomes a challenge. But show me the statistical study that says $212,000 is the right amount for increased vegetation management. It's just a number that they pulled out.
I
didn't hear evidence of why one crew is the right amount of extra. Right.
Yeah, why not 4 crews? Why not a half a crew? I guess that's for me getting right to the punchline.
Well, I mean, if there were 3 added in that section that related to additional staffing, it would, I'm sure from the company's standpoint, I mean, this is the section dealing with additional costs that would be mm-hmm. passed on related to additions. So we'd need to have them cost out an additional whatever crew or however many employees, how that would impact the annual revenue requirement.
One thing that is the information that they're filing is their budget and expenditures information. If you get all this reporting done, and it looks like next time they're still getting outages, or there's a lot of, it also asks for the top 10 causes of outages. So you can look and examine where most of these outages are coming and actually direct that more money be spent on those areas as you look forward. For instance, if we find that the cable replacement is a problem, all right, we need to spend another whatever $200,000 or something a year on cable replacement. But you know, the problem with cable replacement is you got to find out which pieces need replacing, and it's expensive to go in and think you're going to replace stuff that doesn't need replacing.
Mm-hmm. So, and I understand that. I mean, I'm not.
What did you think, Jerry, about, I keep forgetting his name, but the witness had talked a lot about how the lag effect of, you know, flooding on systems. I mean, are we going to see a big increase in maintenance costs because of the big weather events? I mean, it just stands to reason we're going to.
Well, in my mind, the flooding gets water in the junction boxes and in the underground areas. I didn't listen to the testimony you're talking about, but you'd think initially you'd find quite a bit of that. And as time goes on, it would subside.
Yeah, but I, Brian's recollection is correct, though. There was a witness that said that there's a lag in oftentimes a lag in the actual consequence, long after the water has subsided.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. Yeah,
high water tables, didn't
they? Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's the high water table. You might not see it if there's water. You know, if a cable's emerging in water for a long period of time. And
which ties into the forward thing of the maintenance people out there, because the system has been stressed, period. And so mm-hmm. Now is the chance to get the right people in play to head off these problems when they come.
Yeah, that's Minot.
Well, in Fargo and Grand Forks and other areas, they continue to see weather events out there, too.
I don't know how many, junction boxes or transformers have been underwater in Fargo area, but
not many.
I'm sure a lot of cable has, but maybe not either. I don't. But cable, because it's underground, you don't necessarily know. I have one, and it may not, be directly tied to the settlement agreement, but Tony had asked for clarification on the, or at least for a comment, and they did provide both written and oral testimony on their involvement with the EPA Minnesota cabal. Were you satisfied with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, to the degree that I don't think the concern that we have rests so much with Xcel as it is with the parties that initiated the process. And I mean, from an Xcel standpoint, it's kind of an offer you can't refuse when the company or the state that's 80% of your business says we're going to be doing this, project, you have a seat at the advisory table, you sort of have to take it. So I don't fault Xcel for that. I think that it's probably a lack of understanding from the entities within Minnesota about how integrated systems work across state lines, or maybe not a lack of understanding, but just a lack of sensitivity to the fact that what happens in one state can have enormous impacts on other states, and that there needs to be a certain amount of due diligence, and the EPA should probably know better about that. And it's just a matter of making sure that we stay on top of it now.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, how do we follow up with that? Wasn't it we were going to go pull those reports, or what was the discussion we had on that?
Well, we're monitoring. I think
we make sure that we have a staff member who,
yep.
I mean, either Mike or Chris or whoever.
And we did receive one additional filing on it recently with information on, I believe, on contacts and that sort of thing.
Right. So I think it's primarily it's in our staff's court now to task someone to that and to follow up and be on those calls and just figure out where they're going.
Make sure the advice is, you know, consistent with ratepayers in our state. When it's not sounding the alarm.
I didn't have any questions at all about the rate design. I didn't have any questions about the interim refunds.
No, and the,
so, I mean, that was, I guess you need a crutch.
The DOE settlement is solid.
Yeah, I thought so.
I agree.
Well, it sounds like what I'm hearing is we want more.
It's just this is our chance.
We want more information on the reliability issue, and
more than just reporting. I think the reporting is fine, but I still don't believe there's enough people dedicated to being able to repair the system and forward thinking of upgrades.
Let me ask this: from a commission standpoint, our three options are accept, reject, or modify. But modifications, being that this sort of settlement would have to be accepted by the parties or else the settlement falls apart. So what are the commission's wishes? Do we wish to take a crack at having us, with the help of our staff, write additional requirements and then proceed and see what the parties say in response? Or would you rather have them, having had the benefit of this discussion today, go to the drawing board and recommend something to the commission to take a look at?
Well, I mean,
which would be an acceptable mm-hmm. amended settlement.
I go back to they had $20,000 in their first settlement agreement they were going to use to refund customers, if you will, and that was a number they put together as they figured it would come out together. We asked that come out, it kind of came out. And so I guess for me, my first thought would be that it's like you said, that whatever money this would be, it would be put back into rates. So it's not like it's going to, you know, affect them directly. They'll just have to figure out that number. I would like to say, you know, what if that we were willing to put another $100,000 into North Dakota investments of maintenance and then let them figure it out? Do we pick a number and then let them go backwards, or do you pick a requirement and let them submit the number? I think that's, for me, is that there's some number out there that they should put investment in North Dakota system. And that's where...
You're saying the system?
You're looking at people.
Are you looking at people?
Maybe a little bit of each. I like the switches. That's a great idea. But I think people, and maybe there is some more equipment out there, that if they had one more during the settlement agreement, okay, if they could have got one more thing in the equipment, they would have asked. They probably knew what it was. And then just see what that is.
Well, and let's not forget, I mean, even the switches...
They're expensive. And
they are, but, you know, that was a result of our encouragement, insistence on some upgrades. It's not something they've been eager to do all by themselves. So I think that's
fascinating,
a good,
you know, that because our system wasn't quite big enough, that they hadn't invested in these switches, and now they're investing in them because they knew that they had to deliver something.
Yeah. So you're wanting some more.
I'd like to see if the company had an extra, if they were to invest an extra, you know, some number, whether it's $100,000 or $200,000, what would that be? Or if Jerry or
more
Pat
money
thinks,
than your dad and I made as linemen, but
yeah. All of us together. Or if Jerry and Pat could recommend it based on your knowledge of, because you folks have lived the meter problems and you've lived the tree trimming problems and you've lived the power surge problems. I mean, those are all three big things that we've had with Excel in this last couple of years. Based on those experiences, what you would recommend?
I would ask them first to see what they know their system best. And if you could spend another couple $100,000 a year, what would you spend it on?
And then validate it at the end of this period that it went the right way. And
well, I don't know that I'd give them a figure up front to aim for, but it's more a matter of if there was the one next thing that you would choose to do that would be the most cost-effective thing on your system to improve reliability, what would that be?
Yeah.
You give us advice.
And, you know, my thought would probably be replacing more cable, but I don't know if that is the right answer or not.
Well, we could certainly ask it and see what that answer comes back.
I guess when I think about it, I'm thinking that the best thing that we could do if it's possible in this procedure, in this process, is to have the company come back, tell us why they think that, why they, what they're doing now maybe is as good as it can be, and why, and why what they're tracking on their system provides the information mm-hmm. that all the information that that can possibly be tracked to monitor the system and to keep it.
But our concern isn't with how well they monitor it; it's how well they improve it.
Okay, they could come back and convince the, try to convince the commission that that they're doing what they need to do, or not, and then we'd know where additional dollars would do the best, provide the best help.
If I was really swinging for the fences here,
that's
if you could somehow craft something. To me, reliability is a perfect situation where you try to bring in some sort of performance-based rate making.
Yeah,
that would be the incentive. You'd have some sort of tie to allowed recovery or allowed ROE based on their reliability measurements or performance measurements. Now, that's a big effort. It's easier said than done, as the folks who lived through the first one can tell you. But, I mean, to me, that's the answer. Because the problem with just adding money to it is, mm-hmm. effectively, you're rewarding the company, especially yeah. if you're just building rate base, right? If you're putting it into actual assets in the ground, not only are they getting recovery, they're getting a return on that. And so it's the classic kind of problem with rate-based rate making is you are encouraging companies to maybe invest a bit more than they need, and it's in their incentive to do so, but there's no performance metric on the other end that's holding them accountable for what the outcome is. To me, I'd love to see more performance-based rate making. Now, whether that can be pulled together in this particular case, I don't know.
I liked it when I came in, it was already here. And I always thought it made perfect sense to implement the natural market forces into a monopoly situation, and yet, once it was expired, it really never discussed again, to my knowledge. That's a good
point. Perhaps under the expanded reliability, maybe it shouldn't be called expanded reliability reporting, but just expanded reliability, and maybe there's a place to put a performance measure just for this issue. Mm.
Well, now some of these same reporting sort of mechanisms, the six times and you get it fixed sort of stuff. Maybe we just say, I know they had the 20,000 thing before, but maybe it affects ROE, not. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, I know the customer credit's out of here, but to me, it's like. You couldn't have enough customer credits to really make an impact on the company, but you ding a few basis points. I mean, that gets people's attention, which is what it should, right? I mean, performance is what we should be expecting.
Well, clearly,
and if they make a little extra because they have great performance, then so good for them. Yeah. I'm happy for them.
Well, we're obviously going to have another work session after we hear what comes back to us.
But just in general, though, you're talking about, this is a great point, there'd be some baseline. If they exceeded that baseline, one thing, and if they don't get at it, it comes back the other way.
Well, you basically have a like a dead band or a zone of reasonableness that's allowed for a return, and it floats up or down based on whether performance metrics are hit or missed. And we've got the old performance metrics. Now, whether those match up with exactly what we're trying to measure here or not, I think we'd need to take a look at. Those were, I think, broad-based, as I recall, based on Katie and Safey, system-wide. The issues that we're dealing with probably get reflected in there to some degree, but we're talking about more localized issues where you know, there's a particular neighborhood that just keeps getting hit over and over and over again, and we need to make sure that those are identified. So there's plenty of food for thought there. Is it now just a matter of hearing back from them, or do we want to put something out on the table concrete? I think there's a lot to hear back first.
I do, too. I mean, there's a settlement between parties.
I think, you know, Jerry's point that they know best what their system could use if you were going to do the next thing. They also know those, you know, performance metrics as well as the rest of us, although we'll pull them as well because they're broader than reliability too, and there'll be some discussion about whether that we should just focus on one part or what. But we'll kind of do our homework, but I think we need to hear from the parties. I'm hoping that they, you know, get the drift and have some thoughts, if that's okay with the commission.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about, Tony, that would, how would that timeline out? That's something that's a whole major rework, you think, or is that something that, that could be relatively, when I say relatively, I meant talking months, I guess. I've never seen something like that in practice before.
I think it depends. I think it helps that we've gone down this path before with a couple of our utilities, and so their staff and ours are both comfortable with the idea, I think, and at least familiar with how this works. I think if you were starting from scratch, it would be difficult. Now,
I think it depends on whether it's the whole entire deal or...
So that's,
now, let's remember that we were under this before, and the companies on their own decided to not re-up the PBR, so they had strategic reasons for not doing that, and the question is, has anything changed with regard to that? I don't know if what their appetite for it is right now. I know it's still a concept that I like an awful lot. The one that we had before was focused on more than reliability. It included
rates,
price comparability rates. That might be an area of concern for utilities today, and I can understand that because you have different utilities. You have lots of rate cases across the country. It would be very hard to find a peer group that would be, would match well, and you could, I mean, it could either accrue to the benefit of ratepayer or against ratepayer very easily. But things like reliability, I mean, that shouldn't really change over time, regardless of cost structures. Safety is one of the measures that was in there. I mean, safety for their own employees, which I actually thought was a good one. I like that. Customer satisfaction was solid. That was a good one.
Okay. See what they say.
And we heard good things back from the company, too, on the, I mean, during the PBR days, they would say, look, I mean, these, our employees all know these measurements, and they pay attention to them.
I suppose that was, there's been so much investment, construction investment, or, you know, generation investment since then. Maybe, I don't know if, why that matters, but I don't.
What's that? The
so then the PBR days were kind of the non-development days, and then since that time there's been a lot of generation upgrade.
My guess, if I was just speculating, is it was the cost, the price comparability component that scares utilities off right now, or the, it seemed to me that there was a measure of volatility in there, or like percent increase in rates, something like that. It had to do with their ability to kind of hold rates down. And I can understand why, as a performance metric, they'd be concerned about that because we're in an investment cycle.
And I don't know, out of the 30 or so utilities in North Dakota, if you look at the Energy Information Administration's chart of rates, out of the 30 or so, Xcel's in the, you know, pretty close to the high end of that, well, the top end of it. So.
Fair enough. So put another work session on scheduling next week?
I think after we hear back.
Yeah.
But we'll schedule it at the next meeting on the 10th. Did we move our date back, or did we keep the 10th, by the way?
We did. Yeah, we talked about it, then we didn't do anything.
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Well, let's keep it.
That's because that didn't matter to me, but afterwards I thought, geez, we didn't really decide anything different, so.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none? Thanks.
Nope.
PBR, it was approved in December of 2000. It was the last,
holy moly.
It was the last vote that Bruce Hagen took.
It was a 5-year.
Yeah.